Shotgun. Marino throws deep downfield. It is caught by Fryer. Touchdown! Yes! Touchdown, Dolphins!
With in-depth analysis on the Miami Dolphins.
The Rangers call! That's on 4th and 5!
Live from the DolphinsTalk.com studios.
In my opinion, the greatest fans in the NFL, Miami Dolphin fans.
DolphinsTalk.com daily.
All right, Miami!
Dolphins fans, how are you today? And thank you for listening to DolphinsTalk.com Daily, the most listened to daily Miami Dolphins podcast on the internet. I am your host, Mike, on this Saturday, October the 6th, and we got a great show for you today. Later on in the podcast, I will be joined by Miami Dolphins superfan and comedian. You've seen him on things like The Daily Show, ESPN Sports Nation. You've seen him on Sullivan and Son. And, of course, all the late-night talk shows from Letterman to Stephen Colbert to Seth Meyers to Conan O'Brien. Roy Wood Jr. will be joining us later on in the podcast to talk about all things Miami Dolphins. Roy is a lifelong, diehard fan of the Miami Dolphins, and we talk to him about his history of being a fan of the Dolphins and get his thoughts on the team this year as well as this week's game against the Cincinnati Bengals. So later on in the podcast, I will be joined by Roy Wood Jr. But before we get to that, we got a bunch of news to talk about, mainly injury news surrounding the Miami Dolphins heading into this week's game. Let's start off with the first bit of news. The Miami Dolphins placed quarterback Luke Falk on injured reserve. He has a fractured left wrist. So Luke Falk, one of the four quarterbacks on the roster, placed on the injured reserve. His season's over. Wasn't expected to play much. And they filled his roster spot by calling up tight end Nick O'Leary to the active roster. So Miami has another tight end here on the active roster. Nick O'Leary has been called up, which makes sense because A.J. Derby is still hurt, and he will not play this Sunday. He is ruled out already for Sunday. So Miami was thin at tight end. The move makes sense. Nick O'Leary, of course, spent some time with the Buffalo Bills in previous years, and Miami signed him a few weeks back, so he is now on the active roster. Wide receiver Devontae Parker, as of today, looks like he won't play on Sunday. In the part of the practice that was open to the media on Friday, Parker wasn't participating in team drills. He was riding a stationary bike. So, you know, with his history, it's a safe bet. Devontae Parker will not be playing on Sunday, but you never know. And, I mean, I guess something could happen here over the weekend where he heals up quick and is able to play. But Miami doesn't like to play players who do not practice on Friday. And Parker, from all the reports, it sounds like he did not participate in practice Friday. So the odds of him playing Sunday are slim. Cameron Wake's another one. Right now, Cameron Wake is doubtful and most likely won't play on Sunday. But Adam Gase did go out of his way after practice Friday to say this is a situation where Wake could play even though he didn't practice. Number one, because he's Cam Wake. Number two, because, he's Cam Wake. And he can get away with that because of his age and because, he's Cam Wake. So he doesn't need to practice on Friday. And they're saying this is one of the exceptions to the rule. But as of now, Cam Wake is not looking like he's going to play on Sunday. And if he does miss this game, it'll be the first game he's missed since 2015. Cam Wake does not miss games. So this is rare. But as of right now, he is doubtful for Sunday, and it's looking like he won't play. But, you know, maybe Sunday morning if he's feeling okay, feeling like he can give it a shot, even if he's only on the field, you know, for 25% of the time or even less, Miami might, you know, give him a shot here to play in a limited role because they are so thin at defensive end right now. It is bad. Andre Branch leads to my next bit of news. Andre Branch is way ahead of schedule. He was supposed to be out anywhere from 2 to 4 weeks. Obviously, last week was his first missed game. On Thursday and Friday in practice, he practiced on a limited basis, and there's an outside chance he actually could play this Sunday. I wouldn't bet money on it. I don't think he will play, but there's an outside chance, and I don't think Miami wants to rush him back just because, like I've said, defensive end is a mess, and of course you want to beat Cincinnati this week. You want to have all hands on deck, but you also don't want to risk Andre Branch furthering his injury and then him missing more time and missing more games this year. And look, it's a long season. It's only October 6th as I record this. And I don't know if we'll see Branch this week, but he is ahead of schedule. So we might see him against the Bears, and he might only miss two games, which, you know, would be pretty good, actually. Because right now, if Wake doesn't play, Branch doesn't play, obviously Hayes, as we know, is out for the year. Miami's going to have a rotation of defensive ends of Robert Quinn, Charles Harris, who's done virtually nothing, Jonathan Woodard, and Cameron Melvo, which, you know, that's not exactly, you know, the fearsome foursome there. So the Miami Dolphins are really thin on the defensive line. And, of course, they did release Jordan Phillips, as we all know. So their defensive line is in shambles right now. There's no way to put a positive spin on that. But it does sound like Branch may be back ahead of schedule. I don't think he'll play this week, although there's an outside chance. Wake, there's a chance he could play this week, but once again, I doubt he will. But hopefully come the Bears game next week, both guys are ready to go because they need these guys back in a hurry. I just don't know if it's smart to rush them back. You might just sort of have to be, it is what it is against Cincinnati, and, you know, wait it out one more week. As mentioned, tight end A.J. Derby is out this week. He will not play. Bobby McCain is out this week. He will not play. So, not really a shock there. Chase Allen, I guess there's a chance he could play this week, and Miami kind of needs him at linebacker depth because they really don't have anyone. He's not out there. So, Chase Allen, there's a chance he might play. Probably won't know until Sunday morning. So, news-wise, that's pretty much it. A lot of injuries, and, you know, we'll see Sunday morning on some of these guys. But really, Wake and Branch are the guys you're keeping your eye on because, as I said, the defensive line is not in great shape right now. So what I'm going to do now is take a quick break. And after the break, we will be joined by comedian from The Daily Show and diehard fan of the Miami Dolphins, Roy Wood Jr. So sit tight, and we'll be back right after this.
Simbad Sports is the number one sports memorabilia company in South Florida and the number one place to go get your Miami Dolphins memorabilia. Simbad Sports has the likes of Rashad Jones, Cam Wake, Kiko Alonso, and Frank Gore in for autograph signings within the past year alone. So when in South Florida area, visit Simbad Sports at 1976 South University Drive, Davie, Florida. Tell them DolphinsTalk.com sent you.
Joining me on the DolphinsTalk.com hotline is a comedian and super fan of the Miami Dolphins. You've seen him on The Daily Show and many other things, Roy Wood Jr. Roy, how are you doing today?
I am good, good, good.
That's good to hear. And now, how did you become a fan of the Miami Dolphins? Because you were born in Alabama, I believe. So how did you become a fan of the Dolphins?
Regional coverage. People forget how much cable plays a role in fandom and how it influences sports fandom. You know, because for me and, you know, for the young people listening, there was a time on this earth where you only got one football game in the 1 o'clock hour and you got another game in the 4 o'clock hour. And so down south, the people forget in the 80s, the Dolphins were the only good Southern football team.
Correct.
So
That's correct.
The Bucks were trash. The then Houston Oilers, pre-Tennessee Titans were trash. The Falcons were trash. Saints, trash. Bucks, trash. Cowboys, pretty good. But they were NFC. So if you got a AFC game and you lived in the south, they fed you the Miami Dolphins. The Carolina Panthers didn't even exist yet. So, you know, I saw the Dolphins in the 80s, and, you know, they were good. So I was like, you know what, I like that. And then it also, the other thing that played into being a Dolphins fan is just, it's funny but true, is that they had gang-safe colors.
It's true. Not and black so, or red or nothing, know, yeah.
Bro, turquoise and coral are two of the, it's one of those few color combinations that nobody would fight you over. Nobody would ever try to fight you over an orange Mark Duper jersey. It just wasn't going to happen.
Yeah, absolutely. 100%. Now, are you able to go to many games these days? I know you're always on the road. You're very busy with your shows and comedy.
It's been a long time, man. It's been a very long time. Matter of fact, I'd say the last Dolphins game I went to, I think Chad Pennington was still under center.
That's about 10 years ago now, yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, that's some of that Tony Sperano Wildcat days.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's talk about the team now. Let's go back to the offseason a little bit. What were your thoughts on when Miami moved on from guys like Sue and Landry? Were you okay with it? Were you upset by those moves? What was your thoughts in this offseason when they made those moves?
The Landry move, it surprised me a little bit, but having seen Landry on Hard Knocks, because you don't really see players in the day-to-day. You know, Correct. You know what you know Yep. about them from the field and numbers and stat sheets. You see them as a human being. And you see Landry as a guy that just wants to win. He wants to win now. He wants to be somewhere where he feels like he has a fighting chance. And I can see why he, you know, believes in what Cleveland is doing. And considering Miami's quarterback carousel the last couple of years, you know, he just didn't feel confident. You know, these wideouts, they only get a good 5 to 7 years in their prime, and I think Landry had already burned 3 with us. So, you know, he wanted to go somewhere else. So, you know, that one, it's – I can't be mad at.
No, because he got paid a lot of money. That was his payday, too, his first payday, first real payday.
Yeah, and especially with Amendola coming around and, you know, Parker's still doing the damn thing for us. You know, there's – he has the opportunity to stand out more. In Cleveland, I know he went to Cleveland under the assumption that Josh Gordon would be there to take some of the double teams off of him. So I'm very curious to see how the rest of his season pans out. But you know, I wasn't really mad at that one. Sue, I didn't miss because I don't think he, I feel like a lot of people don't take into account that playing in South Florida just requires a different type of mindset. And I think certain players in the wrong environment will just never quite thrive. And I think for coming from Detroit, which I think is a much more grittier city and personality and team, that coming to Miami, I just don't think it was a good fit for Sue's mentality so that it would make him a better player.
Yeah, I mean, he's also a West Coast guy. I think he lives in Oregon. He spends a lot of time in California. That's where his heart is, it seemed like, too. So, and he was
and that's where he ended up.
Back and forth a lot. And then when he had the option to sign somewhere, he went to the West Coast because that's where his heart is, I think. So I think that also played a part in it. So, I mean, look, he got paid a ton of money by the Dolphins, and God bless him for it because he's worth it. But I don't think he played at the level he did when he was with the Lions, partially because, you know, he went there for the money, which you can't blame him for it, but maybe he didn't want to be there and such. 2018, we're off to a quick start of 3-1, although last week sort of brought us all back down to earth real quick there with that butt whooping by the Patriots. What's your thoughts on the start of the season and them being 3-1 right now?
I'm cautious about it. I'm very, very cautious about it. You know, 3-1 is 3-1. You know, you get a win in the NFL, hey, you should by all means celebrate that.
Yep.
You should be happy about that. But when two of those wins are against the Titans and the Jets, you kind of need to meet, you know. We're going to find out in these next four who we really are. That's for sure. Because between that Bears and Lions matchup, those two, and I know we're 2 weeks off the Bears, and, you know, the Bengals aren't necessarily a pushover. Eifert going down gives us a little bit of an advantage maybe. But it's we'll see real fast who we really are.
Yep, absolutely.
I'm just more concerned that, you know, we have a brutal – The end of the year is pretty brutal for us. I don't know if you looked at our December yet. But
I have. Jacksonville, you know, Minnesota, New England. It's tough.
Yeah, exactly. Like, those are going to be some killers.
And what's going to hurt, I think, these next few weeks here are the injuries. They have mounting injuries. I was just reading just before we started to record that Wake might not play Sunday. I guess he is now listed as doubtful, so he might not play. Andre Branch is out. William Hayes, we know, is out. They just cut Phillips. I mean, their defensive line right now is a mess. That's not counting some of the other injuries to, like, Bobby McCain, Sitton, K- Kilgore. I mean, they're just the walking wounded, and we're 1 month into the season. That almost worries me more than the schedule, I think, because Miami, I've been saying all year, their starting 22 is pretty good, actually. It's just the depth, and now we're going to see that depth, and I don't know if that's a good thing or not.
Do you think that Gase is still struggling to find players that will buy into his system? Because it seems like you just mentioned Phillips being waived. Phillips was happy to go.
Yes.
Like, happy to be the hell out of there. And, you know, I feel like there's some of that going on, and he's not alone in feeling like that. You know, you wonder if Landry and some of the other people in the offense, especially the running backs, and you look at what happened with Ajayi was happy to get the hell
happy.
Out of Miami last year.
And when he won the Super Bowl, he took a picture of where he flipped the bird and sent it to Adam Gase on social media. He was happy to go. Landry did not have a lot of nice things to say about the head coach when he went. So there might be something there. I don't know. Gase, it seems like he wants to act like Belichick, but he doesn't have the credentials to act that way. And there's a lot of guys who fall into that. Well, Bill Belichick does it. Bill Belichick's been to 8 Super Bowls. He's won, what, 4 or 5? I don't even know anymore. I lost count. He can act that way. You can't. You know what I mean? So Gase, I still think he's trying to find his footing. And, yeah, I don't know about him yet. I still don't know.
It's something worth monitoring.
Yes.
When you have this many people, talented players. You have talented players. Wide receiver ones, RB ones, D tackle ones on the depth chart, ready to get the hell out of Miami.
Miami.
How do you make somebody hate Miami?
No state income tax, nice place to live, and they're ready to go.
Come on, man. There's
I know.
Fake breasts and good shrimp, whatever you want to put in your mouth. It is there.
Yep. Yeah, I'll be down there. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's something to wonder about. If it's about getting the right personnel that buy into what he's doing, or if it's, you know, some egomaniac that's running off good players and driving the team into mediocrity. But 3-1 is 3-1. You can't put an asterisk beside it. And the Bengals are 3-1, so, you know.
Yeah, this absolutely.
Will be a good one. This will be a good matchup.
Hopefully some of these guys who are sort of questionable this week can play, because I think they really need them, because depth-wise, especially on the offensive line, losing Sitton and losing Kilgore, that's a lot to overcome. And on the other side, you know, Wake, hopefully he can play, but it's not looking promising. Let's talk about the quarterback. Where do you fall on Ryan Tannehill? You know, he's been in Miami since 2012. Obviously, last year, not really his fault. He was hurt. He missed it. It happens. But is this sort of like the make-or-break year for him in your eyes, where if, you know,
absolutely,
he doesn't at least play well, even if the team doesn't win for stuff that's out of his control, let's just say guys getting hurt, but if he doesn't play really well, is it time to move on after this year?
I wouldn't necessarily say it's time to move on, but I think you just go into a Baltimore Ravens, that Ray Lewis era Ravens quarterback,
yep,
where, you know, it's not on Joe Flacco to throw 3 or 4 TDs, just don't throw more than one pick.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just give me 220. Give me 220 and 2 touches, and, you know, we'll figure out the rest of this. I think if Tannehill can just be that, I think the Dolphins, as opposed to other options and rebuilding under center and going and getting a rookie or whatever, I think you'd be fine. I think if Tannehill just shows an ability to make the decisions in the pocket and just not throw the game away for us, I think you can work around that. I think there's plenty of teams that have, you know, they got the Lombardi Trophy, and they never had anybody say, Brad Johnson was not sexy for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
No, he wasn't. No. Nope.
You know, and people talk about Jeff Hofstetter. That's fine, but neither was Phil Simms before he went down. So you don't have to be an Eli Manning. Oh, my God. It's hot and cold with him. So just don't lose us the game. And I think for as long as Tannehill doesn't do that, I think he will probably be safe under this offense. It's just a matter of finding some explosive playmakers on the outside for him.
Yep, and I think he'll be safe as long as Adam Gase is the head coach. Because Adam Gase, if there's one thing about him, he's very, very stubborn. And when he buys into a guy like him, I mean, he has nobody behind him this year. If he ever were to get hurt again, Miami would be royally screwed. He is all in on Ryan Tannehill, I think. And he will stick with him until his time is up in Miami, probably. So he seems to be his guy. Here's a question for you. on a little bit of a lighter note, what are your thoughts on this new Miami Dolphins logo they switched over to a few years ago? Is it time to just sort of switch back to the old logo? Because so many fans I hear from, they hate this new logo. And I'm kind of there with them. Yeah, I mean, the old logo is just iconic, and I don't know why they just don't go back to it full time.
There are just certain franchises where you just don't mess with the logo. Green Bay Packers, Giants, the Yankees, the Lakers. There's just certain ones. This is the logo. This is who we are, and this is what we'll forever be. Kind of like how the Browns don't have a logo. Like, it's that. And
yeah, that's them. Yep.
I've said this before. I was angrier when I said it, but I still stand by the statement. The Dolphins logo looks like a beached whale. Like, it just looks like a whale. Just
something from SeaWorld. It looks like something from SeaWorld. Yeah.
Yeah. Give me the old school Dolphin. They had a helmet on. At least he was ready to play football.
That's
this
right.
Whale.
Yeah.
The hell is he doing?
Yeah, I like the one from the 80s and the one from the 70s. That one, I mean, they made small modifications to it, but it was essentially the same logo. And that was the one I think most fans fell in love with. And when they see this new one, it's like, eh, you know, it's like, okay, but let's go back to the old one. And they do wear the old one twice a year, but I think they should wear it every game. And I don't know what they're thinking. Speaking about the NFL in general, have they gone – what's your thoughts on this? Because, you know, many fans are – talking now about the rules, and you can't touch the quarterback. Now, if you fall on the quarterback the wrong way, it's a penalty, which I think is totally ridiculous. What's your thought on this? Has the league gone too far towards safety? Obviously, you want as much safety because you don't want to see guys get hurt. But now, with the rules that you can't even fall on a guy a certain way, and it's a penalty, is it gone too far?
Oh, they're insane. It's way too insane. And, you know, for what Clay Matthews is going through in Green Bay right now, you know, it's to the point where there's going to be a play he could have made that he won't make for fear of a flag, and it's going to cost the team the game.
Yep.
And I, you know, I've always felt like the only way for this type of stuff to change is for there to be embarrassment. Therefore, I need a call in the playoffs that is ridiculous and embarrasses the league so that they have a conversation about this, because this is just not cool. And if nothing else, they're going to have to start making roughing the passer or something that they review and go into their porno tent to look at.
Yep, absolutely.
In more depth, you know, which is only going to make the games longer. So,
yeah, it is too much. And it even affected here in Miami with Hayes. He hurt his knee. Now he's out for the year because he was afraid he was going to fall on Derek Carr the wrong way and get a penalty. So he stopped short and he moved the wrong way. Next thing you know, his knee's blown out. It's like he shouldn't have to think about that. His job should be sack the quarterback. You sack the quarterback, I don't care how you hit him. As long as you're not hitting his head or hitting his knees, you shouldn't have to worry about it if you're going to land on his hip, if you're going to put too much weight on him. And it cost him the season, which in turn hurts the Miami Dolphins. I think it's gone too much the other way. Everyone who plays in the NFL, you know, they're smart. They know what they're signing up for. And they know it's a dangerous sport, and you might get hurt. So to protect the quarterback that much, I think it's too much at this point.
I really feel like what they're going to have to figure out at some point. You know, my uncle said it best. You don't put a pillow on top of the bull to make it safer for the bull rider.
Exactly.
It's bull riding.
It's bull riding. Dangerous.
The bull might hit you in the face with the back of its head.
It's true. It's 100% true. You might get hurt. Fantasy football, as you wind up here. Let's talk fantasy football. I know you're a big fantasy football player. First off, how many leagues are you in this year? And what's your best team? What's your best team that you
only
got?
Only two, man.
Only two this year?
I trim it down.
I do too. I'm only two as well.
You know, my max here was five. I also did cover five, which is another fun game.
Okay.
It's too hard to explain here, but it's on cover5.com. It kind of spells out the game. Basically, you pick teams to win, and you get points based on how many points they beat the point spread by.
Oh, wow.
So
that
you and your buddies choose five games. You know, you set up a league with four or five friends, you choose the games. You can choose any games. College, pro, whatever.
Oh, okay.
And you choose five games, and, you know, the goal is to choose the underdog upsets, and that's how you get the most points and all that stuff. So I'll do a, you know, I do two fantasies, I do a cover five, and that's it. And, you know, maybe once a month I'll do a FanDuel and just pick a bunch of weird RB2s who I think are going to step up for no reason whatsoever.
Yep, absolutely.
You know, one pick that I am excited about this year is Calvin Ridley. I think I really right.
I wish I had him.
Ridley, and I caught him, and I caught him late, and I got him in both leagues. And I used to have dueling teams with different strategies, but this year I just kind of adopted the same draft strategy for both teams. So I have Matt Ryan and Deshaun Watson as both of my quarterbacks. I have Ridley in the mix. I got Beast Mode. And I have Julian Edelman. And the rest of it's kind of a little pick 'em, you know, shuffle around.
Yeah.
I caught Eric Ebron in one league, and I got Vance McDonald in another as my tight end. So, you know,
Ebron had a big night last night. He had a big night last night.
He did.
Yeah,
he would have had one more. They kept passing it to who's the other tight end for Indy? He had like two touchdown spriggles. I can't think of his name, but.
Yeah.
Screw him. Put Ebron back in. Give him more
keep throwing it to him. Give me more points. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So last question for you. Who's going to win this week between Miami and Cincinnati? What's your prediction?
I like Miami, but it'll be a slow going one, man. I think it'll end up being something like 2017, something like that.
Yeah.
You know, we're just not an offense that's poised to break 30 on a regular basis. So, you know, it's just a matter of ball control and just not giving the ball away. And I think if you do that, you know, we got as good a chance as anybody else.
Absolutely. It's so tough in this league to win games. And each week you see upsets each week. Stuff happens that you never saw coming. So week to week, it's tough to predict these games in the pros. It really is. And I think Miami, you know, if they're healthy and they got most of those guys play, I know a few guys will sit out. We probably won't have Devontae Parker because he never plays. But if some of the other guys play, hopefully we'll come out on top. Roy, thanks so much for a few moments of your time today. Everyone, be sure to follow Roy Wood Jr. on Twitter at Roy Wood Jr. and check out his website, RoyWoodJr.com. Roy, thanks so much, and we'll talk to you again down the road.
Hey, thanks.
All right, you have a good one.
Hey, thank you, brother.
Yep, bye-bye.
DolphinsTalk.com is your one-stop source for anything and everything Miami Dolphins. From the award-winning DolphinsTalk.com podcast to original commentary, breaking news, and interviews with current and former players as well as media types, DolphinsTalk.com keeps you up to date and informed with all the latest happenings taking place in the world of the Miami Dolphins. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at DolphinsTalk and to check us out at DolphinsTalk.com every day for all your Miami Dolphins needs.
Once again, I would like to thank Roy Wood Jr. for joining us here on the DolphinsTalk.com podcast. Everyone, be sure to visit RoyWoodJr.com to see his upcoming dates. He may be coming to a town near you, and if he is, you definitely will want to see him. Very funny man, and we always like to support other fans of the Miami Dolphins. And also, check him out on Twitter, at Roy Wood Jr. Let's get into the preview of this Sunday's game between the Miami Dolphins and Cincinnati Bengals. Miami at Cincinnati, 1 p.m. Eastern on CBS. Your announcers for the game will be Kevin Harlan and Rich Gannon. Always love when Kevin Harlan does a game for the Dolphins. I think he is by far the best play-by-play man in the NFL today. So good announcing crew for CBS this week. The game will be seen on your local CBS affiliate, mainly in the South Florida area and in the Ohio-Kentucky region. Otherwise, you will need the NFL Sunday tickets, going to a small percentage of the country. So unless you have the Sunday ticket, odds are it won't be on your local CBS station. Weather-wise, it looks to be between 83 and 85 degrees on Sunday. Sunny, not a cloud in the sky, pretty much no chance of rain, and the wind around 4 to 5 miles an hour. So wind won't be a factor, rain won't be an issue. A sunny Cincinnati day between 83 and 85 degrees, a perfect day for football. So it should be great conditions. Let's talk about this game. And this preview is going to be shorter than most because, honestly, each team is like riddled with injuries, but specifically the Miami Dolphins are just loaded with injuries right now. And it's going to be whatever team can overcome their injuries the best. Cincinnati has four guys, four key players out of this game. Running back Giovanni Bernard, their backup, he is out with an injury. Tyler Eifert, as we saw last week, that just horrible injury, he is, of course, out for this game. Their center, Billy Price, is out for this game. So each team will be out their starting center. And wide receiver John Ross will be out as well. That kind of helps Miami with no Bobby McCain there. So you know, each team is just riddled with injuries. The Bengals only had four players on their final injury report, but all of them are out. So there's no chance of any of them playing. So that's that, Miami. We just went through the injuries at the top of the show. When Miami has the football, and that's where I think the story of this game will be told, they need to find a way to block the Cincinnati Bengals defensive line. Having to go with Travis Swanson at center and Ted Larson at guard is not a good situation for the Dolphins, and it won't be the rest of the year. That's Miami's weakest part right now on this team. The offensive line is a mess. The defensive line is not in great shape, but you know, once guys like Branch and Wake come back, they're going to be okay eventually. Now, when that eventually is, we don't know. But the offensive line, you know, Sitton ain't coming back, and Kilgore, he ain't coming back, and there's no help on the way. So Larson and Swanson are going to be, you know, pretty much might tell the story for the Miami Dolphins 2018 season. Because if they're unable to block some of these teams, and Miami is going to be facing some tough defensive teams, especially in the next 2 weeks, you know, I don't know how that offense is going to be able to function. And I don't know how they're going to be able to put up points and have sustained drives. So, obviously, Cincinnati with a very good defensive line centered around Geno Atkins, you know, an all-world player. How can Swanson and how can Ted Larson block him? I don't know if they can, honestly. I don't. I'm just being honest with you. But the Bengals with Carlos Dunlap, Andrew Billings, Geno Atkins, Jordan Willis, Sam Hubbard, that's, you know, as good and as deep a defensive line as you will see in the NFL. And can Miami's offensive line, Jesse Davis, Laremy Tunsil, you know, can Juwan James block something besides air this week? Because he was absolutely brutal last week. And if he is brutal this week, you know, I would not be shocked to see him benched and replaced by Sam Young. Can they block Cincinnati's front seven, specifically their front four? And I'm not sure they can. And I think that's going to be the biggest issue Miami faces. The rest of the offense, as I said on the podcast earlier this week, you know, we need a game from Ryan Tannehill here. We know Tannehill's that guy where he's more of a game manager, protect the football, don't do anything to lose Miami the game. I get that. But if there was ever a week where we need Ryan to be like, okay, guys, this one's on me. Strap the team to his back and carry him to a win. This is the week. We need a little bit more out of Ryan this week. Hopefully, you know, Adam Gase sort of, because the offensive line isn't in great shape, you know, get him outside the pocket. Get him moving. Let him make a few plays with his legs. Call some read option plays. You know, roll the pocket. Get him outside. Throw it on the run. You know, try to maybe wear down Cincinnati's defensive line by having them sort of chase Tannehill all over the field. Try to wear him down a little. Do something. Because you just can't have him stand in the pocket like a cigar shop wooden Indian and throw the ball. Because if he is standing back there, he's going to get hit a lot with guys in front of him like Travis Swanson, Ted Larson, Jesse Davis, who just aren't very good. So, you know, have Tannehill move around. Get him outside the pocket. Have him on the run. And let him make some plays. Put this game in his hand. I know it's not something you want to do, and it's not a recipe for success, you know, when this happens a lot. But for 1 week, let's give it a shot. Let's mix it up. So I think that's what they should do. I'm not sure they will do it, but hopefully they try it. I think that's Miami's best chance. Trick plays. Obviously, we saw a few trick plays against the Raiders. We didn't see any last week. You know, open up the bag of tricks, because right now this Miami Dolphins offense sort of needs a spark, needs something to get them going. If you got another trick play or two, you know, give it a shot. There's nothing to lose at this point. And I guess the final thing, I'm talking about the offensive side of the ball, is, you know, Adam Gase has to find a way to get Kenyon Drake involved. And this bullshit he spews, we don't have enough offensive snaps. Well, you're the head coach. That's on you. And you know what? For the few offensive snaps you do have, you can still use Kenyon Drake, okay? And if you want more offensive snaps, well, find a way to have your offense get some first downs so you do have more offensive snaps. So I am sick and tired hearing about Adam Gase, but, you know, use Kenyon Drake. Match him up against linebackers in the passing game. Get him the ball. Find a way to get him the ball in space. You don't have to run him up the middle between the tackles time and time again. That's not his strength. His strength is get him on the edge, get him to turn a corner, and get upfield. Match him up against a linebacker in the passing game where he can run by somebody and get open. But get Kenyon Drake involved. It makes zero sense why they're not looking at him more or featuring him more. This is one of those times where you scratch your head with Adam Gase going, you know, what are you thinking? What are you thinking? Just get him the ball more. Find a way. I don't know. But I think for the offense, the keys are, can they block the Cincinnati Bengals defensive line? Can Tannehill, you know, do more than he's asked most weeks? And, you know, find a way to have Kenyon Drake make some plays. Those are the three keys there. The other side of the ball on defense, Rashad Jones should be back. From all signs, he will be back, so that's a plus. Sort of helps Miami secondary. Obviously, no Bobby McCain does hurt, though. So Torrey McTyer, Quadrea Tankersley, probably going to split time at the other cornerback spot. Look, it is what it is. It is what it is. There's nothing you can do about it. John Ross won't play, so it helps a little bit there. But Tyler Boyd, A.J. Green, two very good players for the Cincinnati Bengals. This might be a week where Xavien Howard sort of just follows A.J. Green around the field, and he's on him full time. But, you know, Tyler Boyd is another guy who's very dangerous in the passing game. So Miami secondary will have their work cut out for him, but no John Ross and no Tyler Eifert, you know, should help Miami a little here with the passing game. Another thing with Andy Dalton. Andy Dalton's having a good year. I mean, good. He has 11 touchdown passes through four games, but he also has six interceptions. So he has been prone to turning it over, which is not a shock because he's Andy Dalton at the end of the day. And Miami secondary, I believe, has 9 interceptions. So Miami secondary, 9 interceptions. Andy Dalton, 6 interceptions. Maybe they can sort of force Dalton to some turnovers. That would be great. But he also does have 11 touchdown passes. So, well, the interception numbers for him are high. You know, he's been pretty good at making plays in the passing game. But at the end of the day, he's Andy Dalton. He's nothing special. Hopefully they can get some sort of a pass rush on him. I'm not sure if it's possible, though. When you're rotating in guys like Cameron Melvo, like, you know, Jonathan Woodard is playing in his second game ever. Charles Harris has been here, you know, a little over a year and has just done absolutely nothing. I mean, he is quickly turning into a first-round pick that is a bust because he produces nothing on the field. If there was ever a game where Charles Harris will probably get the start this week, and he'll probably be on the field for at least 70 or 80% of the snaps. If there was ever a game where Charles Harris had a breakout game, a breakout moment, an impact game, you know, this is the week. He's never going to have an opportunity like this probably again for a while here because, you know, guys like Wake and Branch will be back soon, and that will just relegate Charles Harris to being, you know, what he is. But, you know, Charles Harris, you're a first-round pick. Make a play. Just make a few plays. That's all we're asking for you. Not sure if it's possible, though, but that's what we're hoping for. Yeah, that's going to be the key for the Miami Dolphins, getting some sort of a pass rush on Dalton. Joe Mixon should be back. He probably won't be 100%, but he will be back. So hopefully Miami Dolphins, you know, can sort of slow him down. But on this side of the ball, there's really only two keys. A, can Torrey McTyer and Quadrea Tankersley not hurt Miami in the secondary? And B, who's going to rush the passer and get any sort of a pass rush? Because you would figure Cincinnati's going to focus on Quinn and try to shut him down and say, okay, can anybody else beat us? Can anyone else beat us? And, you know, I don't know. Honestly, I don't know. But, again, Miami here, they're banged up. And for my official prediction on the game, unfortunately, I'm going to have to pick Cincinnati. Cincinnati's a very good team. They're a little bit healthier. And I think Miami is relying on too many, you know, second string, second tier guys like Travis Swanson, Ted Larson, Tankersley, McTyer, Malvo, Woodard. So it's going to be tough, I think, for Miami to go on the road and beat a team of this caliber with a lot of guys from the second and third string playing. So my pick for the game is Cincinnati 27, Miami 13. Cincinnati 27, Miami 13. That is my pick. As always, hope I am wrong, but that is my pick for this game, that Cincinnati will beat the Miami Dolphins this Sunday. I think Miami, heading back home after this game for a couple games in a row, That's going to help them, and hopefully when they head back home, they get a few guys healthy here. But this week, I think, is just too tough of a task to go on the road against a team like Cincinnati with all these injuries and playing shorthanded. So we'll see, though, on Sunday afternoon. Hopefully I am wrong. So I would like to thank everyone for listening to this podcast. Be sure to go to the website, dolphinstalk.com. We have a ton of new articles up, a ton of new videos, a bunch of new podcasts. We have a new podcast from Perfectville. We have a new podcast from the same old Dolphin Show. We have a new episode of the Landon and Jeff Show. And, of course, like I said, we've had a great week of interviews here on the dolphinstalk.com podcast. Check them all out. The ones with Safi Dean, Antoine Staley, author Carlo DeVito on the Don Shula book. If you are someone who lived through the Don Shula years, or you want to learn more about Don Shula, or just interested in the history of the Miami Dolphins, you will want to listen to that. It's 1 hour. I know it's long, but Carlo DeVito has done an amazing job on that book, and you will learn things about Don Shula that you probably did not know. So check out that interview from Thursday. And of course, today, very thankful to have Roy Wood Jr. here on the podcast. Thanks so much. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at Dolphins Talk. Follow us on Instagram at Dolphins Talk. And wherever you are listening to this podcast, whether iTunes, SoundCloud, Google Play, Podbean, be sure to subscribe to it and leave us a rating and a comment. So everyone, have a great Saturday, and we'll talk to you again after a while.
Thank you for listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast. Be sure to visit DolphinsTalk.com every day for all of your latest Miami Dolphins news.